Tell me something. Tell me. Are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure of what? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Are you sure that if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Are you? Oh, wait a minute now. Nobody can be sure. I mean, you can only hope, right? Oh, hope you say? Where's that in the Bible? I hope I go to heaven. I hope that Jesus will have mercy on me. I hope there was, you know, a cross and that Jesus suffered and died for my sins. I hope so. You do, huh? Well, that's just about the status quo for the world, isn't it? I hope so. If, the big if comes in then, if there is such a place, if Jesus is real, and if Jesus did this. Well, come on. How many times have you heard it? Hey, if I'm a good person. I never did anybody wrong. Well, surely God wouldn't send me to a hell if there is such a place. Oh. Whoa. Now, hold on right there. Triple negative. I never did anybody wrong. I never did anything wrong. Ooh. God wouldn't send me to hell if there was such a place. Huh. If there is such a place as hell, God wouldn't send me there. Oh, really? Well, let's go and deal with these individually. First of all, I never did anything wrong. In your dreams. What does the Word of God say? What does the Word of God say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, that's you, me, the whole world. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Number two, God wouldn't send me to hell. Revelation 20, verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. If there is such a place, you say? Well, Mark 9, verse 43. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. Fire is not quenched? Wow, you'll find that in some places in the Bible, I'll tell you. Mark 9:45. In Revelation, you'll find these places. Wow. Oh, nobody would send you there, would they? You know, that's kind of sorry, isn't it? So the guy on my left says, my bishop says we are not to take the scriptures literally. They're simply too complex for the novice to understand. Really? Too complex, eh? This is why we have priests, he says. Oh, that sounds like a Catholicism to me. This is why we have priests. Priests are ordained of God, he says, to lead us in the paths of righteousness. They know what they're saying. But doesn't the Bible say that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? Including priests? Well, yeah, well. But the priests are chosen vessels and are ordained of God. Who told you that? Well, my priest, of course. My priest. Oh, interesting. Let me see now. Let's explore this a little bit further. Did your priest also tell you we are all guilty before God? Did he? Did he tell you there is none righteous? No, not one. There is none that understandeth? Did he tell you that? There is none that seeketh after God? Did he tell you? Did he tell you they are all gone out of the way? Did he tell you they are together become unprofitable? And did he tell you there is none that doeth good? No, not one. Did he tell you? Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. Did your priest tell you all of this? Well, Will, come on now. Did he tell you? He didn't tell me. I used to be a Catholic. He didn't tell me that. My priest told me he had the power to open heaven's gates. Ooh. Now, there's a dandy. He had the power to open heaven's gates. Verse 45. The fire is not quenched. Verse 46. The fire is not quenched. Verse 47. Cast into hellfire. Verse 48. The fire is not quenched. Number 3. If there is such a place. If hell wasn't real, why would the Word of God talk about it so much? And why did Jesus go to the cross and suffer and bleed and die for the sins of the whole world? To save your miserable soul from hellfire. That's why. Did your priest also tell you we are all guilty before God? Did he? Did he tell you there is none righteous? No, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Did he tell you they are all gone out of the way? Did he tell you they are together become unprofitable? Did he tell you there is none that doeth good? No, not one. Did he? Romans 3, verses 10 to 12. Did your priest tell you all of this? Well, he didn't tell me. Come on. Come on. Well, my priest told me that he had the power to open the heaven's gates. He did. He told me that. He had the power. People have asked me, why do you attack the Catholic Church so much? Well, why? Because the Catholic Church once owned me. Have you got that? The Catholic Church once owned me. From the womb of my mother, through the sprinkling waters of baptism and the eerie echoing chamber of the confessional, the only God I knew was the pious pontiff and his ebony flock, whose hands are tainted with child molestation and sexual abuse. Why do I attack the Catholic Church, you ask? Because they, the Catholic Church, they turn innocence into shame. Have you got that? They turn innocence into shame. Wow. Does that make any sense to you at all? Does it? They turn innocence into shame. And him that sat on it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20, 11, 12, 15. The lake of fire is the final death. The final death. It is appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment. That's what the Word of God tells us. It's appointed unto men once to die, and then the judgment, the spiritual judgment we're speaking of here. Where will yours go? Only what's done for Christ will last. There's only one obstacle between you and God. Three-letter words you're probably familiar with, but you don't like it anyway. It's called sin. But it goes into a big, long word as well. On righteousness. So whether you choose the short version or the long version, you're still guilty. Sin, unrighteousness, as seen through the eyes of our holy and righteous God. Church membership and ordinances won't save you. They won't. We are all unclean in His eyes, and only the shed blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from our iniquities. Have you got that? That's so important. Only the shed blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all of our iniquities. You know, a friend of mine once told me, in the middle of his despair, nothing can save me, I'll tell you. I'm the worst sinner the world has ever known. It would take a dozen crucifixions to save me from the pit of hell. I turned aside and prayed for God's mercy. That's what I did. I turned aside and prayed for God's mercy. Have you ever stood at a gravesite and watched the officiating pastor or priest or whomever as he gave out the last rites over the casket of the deceased? Have you? And does not the humbleness of his words serve to elevate the deceased? To elevate him. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of life he had. But he's in his grave. He's in the coffin. So, you're not going to put him down, are you? And maybe miss out on a little extra moolah, money? Oh, you're going to speak well of the deceased regardless. No matter how great the sinner may be, listen to me. You're sure to hear comforting dialogue that seems to downplay the sin and try to accent his good or lofty points. good or lofty points. Hey, we all have good and lofty points, don't we? But do they point toward God? Do they point toward Calvary? Almighty God, as we gather here today, we seek your mercy and forgiveness on our dearly departed. And we ask that in your great mercy, O God, that you would welcome him into your kingdom. It's almost identical to what you would say over a great and mighty servant of God. Do you get the idea here? It doesn't matter to the world what kind of person you were when you're dead and gone. You're out of the world's mind. You are in the hands of Almighty God. Unfortunately, they're not comforting hands. We need to stop, people. We need to stop. We need to understand that the time for forgiveness was finished at Calvary. There's no place else to go. There's no pre-salvation. It's all there on Calvary, on the cross, on the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you understand that the time for forgiveness was finished at Calvary? There's no more. There's nowhere else to turn. No one else to turn to but Jesus, our Savior. The proverbial die has been cast. Eternity is sealed. And no matter how hard you pray, God is not about to make an exception. Well, I know I made a lot of mistakes in my life, but I also did a lot of good things, too. I gave old Mrs. Jones there the other day. I gave her $20 to get herself something to eat. So, there's a good thing, right? Good deeds won't save you. They won't save you. Your eternity is sealed. Only believing in Jesus Christ and his shed blood at Calvary will save you from an eternal hell. And no matter how hard you pray, God is not about to make any exception. The fate of the lost soul, once the flesh is dead, cannot and will not be redeemed. Hellfire, that's all that waits. Yes, oh yes, Christ died for our sins. But it's up to us to acknowledge him as our Savior. That's the main purpose of him dying, shedding his blood. He who was without sin. That's why he came to this sin-cursed earth. He is the only way. There is no other way. Christ paid the price we could not pay. Now, if you think like a lot of people do, well, I've been a pretty good person throughout my life. I've helped the needy along the way here and there, and I don't hardly swear at all. I'm kind of clean-mouthed, you might say. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Love thy father and thy mother, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did all that. Oh, you went to Mass every Sunday, did you? Ooh, wow, aren't you a goody-two-shoes? Are you? Are you? In the eyes of God, you're nothing but a sinful state. headed for hellfire until you make that change and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who made the difference, the one who came to this sin-cursed earth, the one who willingly allowed himself to be embarrassed, just harassed and beaten and spat upon, and then nailed to a cross at a place called Calvary. Why would God, or why would, look at it from this perspective, then why would any father send their only son to die for you and me and whomever? Why? I mean, surely it has to be a different way, right? Well, I got to inform you, there is no different way with God. God set the rules. God left the option there for us. And He's not coming upon you day after day and saying, come on, come on, come on now, come on, come to the cross, come on, come on, I want you to be saved, come on to the cross. No, you have to do it on your own. On your own. You see, it's up to Christ. Christ died for our sins, but it's up to us to acknowledge Him as our Savior. And we can't do that at a gravesite. Especially if you're the one in the coffin. Salvation is a free gift. A free gift. Have you got that? Always was, always will be. Oh yes! But it can only be used if one will receive it. Picture yourself on Christmas morning, all the gifts around the tree, and you go through them and you see, looking for one with your name on it. And guess what? Everybody else's name is on them, but yours isn't on any of them. What happened here? What went wrong? Looks like you were left out. You just took it for granted. Oh, well, yeah, I always get lots of gifts at Christmas, sure. Really, really. Come on. Come on. If you don't see your name written down in glory, if it isn't there, you're not going. You're not receiving. You're not getting. You're already gone, but it's to a place where you don't want to go. Yes, salvation is a gift. It's the greatest gift the world has ever known. But it comes from the holiest of holies, Almighty God, sacrificing His only begotten Son. And the only way we can receive this gift, the only way, is if we repent. Have you got that? Yes, I said repent, and that's scriptural. If we repent and believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. Are you one of those that searches for other ways because it's too complicated? You have to give up too much the way they want? Are you? Well, let me tell you, believe me or not, Jesus is the only way. And if you are dying to find out, it'll be too late. The opposite of heaven is hell. And both are eternal. Have you got that? Both are eternal. Tell me. Tell me, as we near the close of this message today, how is it with you? How is it with you? Are you among the redeemed? Do you know that if you died today, you'd open your eyes in the presence of Almighty God? Do you know that? Is your destiny sealed in glory in His presence? People, the time for hoping is past. Tomorrow is promised to no one. I want to thank you for listening today. I pray that the words that were spoken will take some kind of meaning in your heart, and that, as simple as they may be, they spell out, they clear the way to the cross of Jesus Christ. Because at the cross is where salvation began and ended. There is no other way. No other way. May God's blessing be upon you and your house. And if you're not sure about your salvation, you can contact me through tillycomes.net, Battle Site for Christ. Or go talk to your pastor at a King James authorized 1611 Baptist Church. They have the Word of God complete. They'll never turn you away. There is a way. There is a way. It's God's way. And God's way leads to the cross. Thank you. I pray you will make that decision today. In Jesus' name. In His wonderful, glorious name, I pray. Amen. Amen.